Blog Talk Radio.
This broadcast is the property of E2G Sports Network, E2GSports.com, and E2G Sports LLC.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Football MD. I'm your host, John Mendoza, joined by my lovely co-host, as always, Dalton Davidson. And we're back. Football MD is back. We took last week off in observance of Easter, but we're back here with just as much NFL news and free agency trades going on, draft right around the corner. It feels like we are flying through this off season. Never a shortage of topics to talk about. And we want to diagnose your team. We want to tell you how to fix your team, what's wrong with your team, and how to best remedy that. Please give us a call. We want to hear from you. And, hey, what's going on in your mind? What are you thinking of this offseason so far? And what do you think is ailing your team? Reach out to us on the hotline, 516-387-1702. That's 516-387-1702. Good morning, Dalton. How you doing, man?
I'm awesome, man. I'm excited to get talking about some NFL news. It was good to have a little week off, observe Easter, as you said, but I'm ready to talk about, there's been some crazy things going on. Probably the Jets trade for Sam Darnold, sending Sam Darnold over to Carolina, the biggest piece of news. This is a very interesting change up in the NFC South, as well as maybe in the AFC East, as now we for sure know that the Jets are going to be taking Zach Wilson, most likely, with the number 2 overall pick.
Now, before we jump too far into Sam Darnold, I just want to ask you for your own personal opinion. Is Zach Wilson 100% the pick? Like, there's no way that the Jets are just bamboozling us and they're taking Trey Lance or Justin Fields?
It is possible that there's a bamboozle, for sure. I mean, that's still on the table. Maybe they do like Justin Fields better. For some reason, a lot of people haven't liked Justin Fields lately. He hasn't had great pro days from what I've heard. I mean, sure, he ran a 4.440. Basically, everyone in this draft has run a 4.440 because we didn't have a combine. So they're all testing it. They're all testing it at their pro days, which, you know, maybe doesn't have quite as reliable of testing equipment. So that's part of that equation. Maybe he's a little faster on the 40 test than he looks. I don't know. He's a fast quarterback. Justin Fields is an option. Trey Lance, definitely an option as well. Probably the least pro ready of those top 4 quarterbacks, probably top 5 quarterbacks. I'd even say Mac Jones is more pro ready at this point than Trey Lance. And I'm high on Trey Lance, but I don't think you can justify taking him number 2, really. So Zach Wilson is the option to me. I don't see the Jets really passing on him. There's been plenty of hype on Zach Wilson, even though it's really just been 1 year of major success. I still can't see them passing on him with all the hype that's been generated about this kid. I mean, we've not had a BYU successful quarterback in a long time, but I mean, every critique you can give to Zach Wilson, he's got the talent. I mean, he's talented. He seems a good leader. As long as he can, you know, show up and have the work ethic that we expect, there's no real reason to pass on Zach Wilson. There's no real reason to bluff about this. It really seems to me Lawrence 1, Wilson 2, and then the draft starts.
Yeah, exactly. And so the Jets, for sure, going quarterback route, we all 99% assume it's Zach Wilson. And the big Darnold trade that really changed up the landscape of the NFL, the NFC South, and really the quarterback market in general, the Jets sending off Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers for peanuts, but to break it down, a 6th-round pick this year and then a 2nd- and 4th-round pick in next year's draft, which I just want to note is more than the Cardinals got when they traded Josh Rosen to the Miami Dolphins. But nonetheless, I'm sitting here and I'm looking just from, you know, a pure value perspective. I'm looking at what the Panthers gave up to get Sam Darnold, a former top 5 pick who's been in quarterback hell on the New York Jets. And you give up basically a 2nd- and 4th-round pick in next year's draft. And then you've got a team like the 49ers who just gave up 3 1st-round picks and additional draft capital to trade up to number 3 to take an option of, you know, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, or Mac Jones. That pick has yet to be seen. And, you know, I just got to pause, and before we even think about Darnold's value to the Panthers, I just got to think, wow, I would much rather have my three first-round picks intact and take a chance on resurrecting Sam Darnold's career than giving up three first-round picks to take a complete unknown commodity in Fields, Lance, or Mac Jones. To me, when I saw this trade, I thought the Panthers pulled off an absolute fleece job. It truly feels like what the Colts did to the Eagles earlier this offseason. But the wild card is, we know what Carson Wentz is capable of, and we know that his play has been on the decline. Maybe that's not even his fault, per se. But we have no idea what Sam Darnold is capable of. We haven't even seen his best football yet. And I think that's the real kicker, the real value. I think the Panthers got a starting caliber franchise quarterback who could turn into a Pro Bowler, and they kept their draft capital.
Yeah, there's a couple of things to talk about here. This is obviously a totally different ballgame from what we were talking about with the Carson Wentz trade. Carson Wentz was a proven success and proven failure at the time of that trade. So Darnold, on the other hand, we've seen flashes of greatness. I mean, I go back to that run against the Broncos where he juked the entire team. And he is so much more athletic than I give him credit for. Got excellent arm talent. And I can't get over the fact that it feels like we're evaluating him as if he's a college prospect still, because we still feel like we don't have game tape on him, and it's been 3 years later. It's a weird situation. So we still don't really feel like we know what Darnold is capable of, because he's not really played with an offense yet. He's going to go to Carolina.
Right.
He's going to have pieces around him now. He's absolutely an upgrade from Teddy Bridgewater. And man for man, therefore, the Panthers should be better this year. I do expect them to increase their win total. They absolutely can't compete for a division title. Obviously, the Bucs are running away with that. And the Saints are probably still better than them. But maybe they can get to 9-7, 10-6, and shoot for a wild card slot. That's still in the realm of possibility. But if we are looking long term, and I assume we are, this trade was made for short-term value, right? Because this is an immediate upgrade for the Panthers roster right now. I don't necessarily think that this means the Panthers are devoted to Darnold long-term. Because what's nice about this trade is if the Panthers don't sign Darnold right now, then say it doesn't work out this year, they can let him go. I believe this is going to be his option year where they could pick up a fifth-year option or not. But say Darnold does work out, then that it becomes a little bit trickier to me, actually, because now it's only been 1 year. You haven't gotten a ton of value. You probably went maybe 9-7 at best. I'll give you 10-6 if you're really optimistic. First-round playoff loss, obviously. Even with Christian McCaffrey, the defense is still not very good. We've got skill positions, sure, but there's still a lot of missing pieces on this Panthers team. So, okay, we get Darnold. I think that's an upgrade, but where do we go from there? So now we have to pay Darnold immediately, basically. Maybe we pick up the fifth-year option and play one more year, but okay, 2 years now, we have to pay him for sure. And now you feel like you're not getting quite as much value as maybe had you just traded up, gone for Trey Lance, you would have had 4 years of value out of a rookie quarterback. Maybe the first year was tough, but this year was going to be tough anyways. You still don't have much of a team. But if you're looking to win now and you're looking to take advantage of Christian McCaffrey, who's still probably the best running back in the league, you kind of got to go for it, I guess, and maybe a miracle happens.
Yeah, and I want to touch on two things that you mentioned there. Number one is that you're taking advantage of Christian McCaffrey right now, still the consensus, you know, number one overall fantasy player, probably the number one NFL running back. Maybe you can make an argument for Derrick Henry. Running backs don't last long. And you've got a generational dynamic playmaker in Christian McCaffrey. You want to utilize that skill set, take advantage of that right now. The other thing that you mentioned is, you know, short-term versus long-term. And I think this is why this was such a good move for the Panthers, because unlike a team like the 49ers who just mortgaged their future, if Mac Jones or Justin Fields or Trey Lance is a bust, you're screwed. You're absolutely screwed. You've got no first-round picks. You've got no draft capital. You've got nothing to build a team around. If you're the Panthers and Darnold is just completely trash, he's broken, he's the quarterback. He was the reason that the Jets had the number 2 overall pick this year. Then you still have 3 first-round picks to build around. And that's not even including if I was the Panthers and this draft, you know, they hold the number 8 overall pick. If a quarterback slides or a Jamar Chase slides or a Penei Sewell slides, you trade back and you basically regain the capital that you lost giving up, you know, for Darnold. So I agree with you. I don't think the Panthers are immediate contenders right now. You know, no one's going to have the Panthers running away with the NFC South. But if I take a look at that division and I say, okay, the Bucs, we both pretty much agree, you know, this late in the offseason, they did everything they need to run it back. They're probably Super Bowl favorites, them and maybe the Rams. But I look at the Saints, who are still in salary cap hell. They don't have a quarterback right now. Sorry, not convinced on Jameis Winston until he can prove me otherwise. That team is clearly rebuilding. You've got the Falcons, who, per reports this week, are arguing internally what to even do with the 4th overall pick. Draft a quarterback for the future, trade down, or take the best prospect on the board at number 4. And I truly believe that, you know, under this coaching staff, with the offensive talent that you have surrounded Darnold with, this team is 1 or 2 pieces away from really contending as a wild card team, for being the second best team in the division. And if Tom Brady hangs up his cleats at the end of the year, like many expect him to, this move is so dynamic for me, because I truly believe that the Panthers could jump to the number 1 team in the NFC South after this year. Once the Bucs finally fall apart and Brady leaves and everybody, you know, is ready to get paid, they've won their back-to-back Super Bowls, that team starts rebuilding. I think this is a great shot for the Panthers to finally be competitive in the NFC South, and you're just a couple pieces on defense away from really being a complete team, assuming this Darnold trade works out. And hey, if it doesn't, you've got 3 years of first-round picks to pick your quarterback of the future. But I'm sorry, I'm looking at what teams have done this offseason in terms of trading for quarterbacks, and I think the Niners gave up way too much to jump up to number 3. And I think teams like the Colts, like the Panthers, I think they did it smartly in taking a chance and giving up very little for something that could be really big value.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely like to have the chance for big gain for little value. But I'm still just worried about, if it does work out, we're going to have to pay him. And that's just the issue with the Darnold situation here. Is Darnold's not very long from having to go off of his rookie deal. And that really seems to be, I don't want to get too memey about this, but that's the meta of the NFL right now, is quarterbacks on underpaid contracts, which is rookie deals for the most part. Maybe Darnold wants to take a team-friendly contract. Maybe I have him pegged wrong, but team-friendly deals on your quarterback is everything in the league right now. That's why the Buccaneers are able to compete at such a high level, because they're not paying Tom Brady near as much as he is owed. That's why the Packers are not winning Super Bowls. Aaron Rodgers is getting his money. Russell Wilson is getting his money. Patrick Mahomes hasn't been getting huge money yet, is going to start getting that money very soon. Lamar Jackson hasn't been getting huge money yet, is going to be starting getting that money soon. These teams, I mean, they're still going to be playoff teams. They're still going to have a chance for sure. But having a quarterback on a team-friendly, or especially a rookie contract, it's such a big value. If you do get a guy who just is an immediate flash in the pan and has that immediate success, you can go crazy and just win a Super Bowl in year 3, like with Patrick Mahomes. That I think is the formula for being successful. And while I like the Darnold trade and the idea that it definitely makes the Panthers better right now, I'm still just not convinced about their future as a franchise, because yeah, some of the skill positions are nice. I'm not totally convinced by DJ Moore yet, and I'm definitely not convinced that Christian McCaffrey has more than, what, 2 years left before he starts fading off. So, I mean, maybe they can start to overtake the Saints in the NFC South, but I don't know. I see Tampa being successful for a long time.
You're listening to the E2G Sports Network, home of the Unsung Sports Grid. I'm your host, John Mendoza, joined by my co-host, Dalton Davidson. And this is Football MD, diagnosing your team, finding remedy for what ails your team, and fixing your team this NFL offseason, which has been absolute fireworks right from the get-go. If you have a thought, an opinion, what do you think about the Sam Darnold trade, and what do you hope your team does come draft night, give us a call on the hotline, 516-387-1702. Again, that's 516-387-1702. So we talk a lot about the value and whether or not we like the trade and where the Panthers project from here on out, which is kind of what we do here on Football MD. But I want to ask you one more question, and then we can kind of turn the page on this Darnold trade. Does Sam Darnold work out in Carolina, or is this guy just a draft bust?
Darnold is not a bust. Darnold is a talent who is a gunslinger, and he's going to make mistakes. There are going to be turnovers. He's going to play against Tampa and probably throw three picks, but he's going to have big moments too. I expect this guy to have those huge throws. I don't know if he can rein it in consistently is the thing. I can't really call him a bust because I think he's still going to have big plays, but he's never going to be an MVP. And he's never going to be a guy who you're like, okay, we drafted him number 3 overall, as I believe was in 2017. I don't see him ever living up to that expectation. But I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I think he's top 20 in the league. But is that what you were hoping for his career? Probably not.
Yeah, and I think this trade works out pretty well. I'm kind of in an agreement with you. I think maybe at this point, barring a complete career turnaround, or if Matt Rhule just really works his magic with Darnold, I think Pro Bowl is the ceiling for Darnold, which is not what you hope for the number 3 overall pick. But as far as the Panthers are concerned, that's pretty good for a second-round quarterback. I mean, that's really what you give up for him. I'm just super stoked to see what he can do with a real team. My fear is that he's going to have that shell shock from being on the Jets where, oh my gosh, I've got wide receivers to throw to now. I have an offensive line to block for me. I have a running back. I forgot those existed while I was on the Jets. I wonder if we talked a lot about this with the Carson Wentz trade, and I hate to keep drawing comparisons, but we talk about Wentz possibly being damaged goods. I think the same similarities are being drawn to Darnold, where hopefully he's not just so wrecked from being on the Jets, taking those sacks, and working under Adam Gase. But time will tell. And this really just throws, you know, all the pieces are finally falling into place in the quarterback carousel, where teams who needed a quarterback this offseason, you know, some of them got one, and others are kind of just sitting by the wayside trying to scramble and figure out what they're going to do at quarterback. Man, as a Broncos fan, I feel like we kind of got left in the dust here. I feel like Chicago got left in the dust. The Patriots looked like they're running it back with Cam Newton. So what's left? What are the options left at quarterback for any of these teams or any other team that might need a quarterback that I didn't mention?
Well, there is still one option left very clearly is Teddy Bridgewater is going to be wanting out of Carolina. He has been given permission to seek a trade. So Teddy Bridgewater is an option. He is very aptly named as he will be a bridge quarterback. Not a bad situation for a team that maybe drafts a quarterback in the second round or so and thinks, okay, let's bring in a guy, get some competition. Maybe it's an option for, I hate to say it, like Denver, who, if they're really not satisfied with what they got, I don't necessarily like that situation personally. He's also going to be in a situation where he's going to be a good backup for a team that maybe doesn't trust their quarterback position entirely, a team like the Saints last year. who were able to bring in Bridgewater. He was an excellent backup for them, won 5 games at 5-0. A lot of other teams could look at him in the same way. Maybe a team like Cincy or the Chargers could bring in Bridgewater. He says he's willing to restructure his deal to be team friendly. Sounds like he just wants to be on a team. So I would definitely be all for bringing in Bridgewater to any team as a very consistent backup. Maybe even Arizona or Kansas City. Any team could bring him in as a backup and absolutely upgrade the quality of their quarterback room. I don't think anyone is looking at him as a starter this year, most likely, but we'll see. I do want to touch on the Jets real quick. The Jets have made some moves this year, this offseason. Do you feel like we have a plan from the Jets? Do you feel like we are getting strategy, like they are putting together an identity, or are they just making moves to stay in the, and to stay in the news?
I mean, I'm looking at the Jets and I'm like, what moves have you made that have been headline worthy? You signed Corey Davis. You're giving him number one wide receiver money for a number two wide receiver who's had 1 year of good production in the NFL, playing opposite of Calvin Johnson Jr., A.J. Brown. And you've made a lot of buzz about what you're going to do in terms of drafting a quarterback. So what is the plan? What is the strategy? I think the strategy is you draft Zach Wilson and you rely on Robert Saleh to fix that defense. Not that there's a lot of pieces to work with, but you go with Zach Wilson and you ride it out this year. And the Jets have a lot of draft capital going forward. They've got four first-round picks, correct me if I'm wrong, going into the next two drafts. They have a lot of draft capital. They just picked up, more from the Panthers. So I think they're doing things in the opposite order that I personally would have liked. I like to put pieces on my team and then bring in my rookie quarterback or my franchise quarterback. They seem to be taking the opposite approach where they don't have a lot to work, don't have a solidified offensive line. They don't really have weapons at wide receiver. I don't know if they have a running back on their roster, but they're saying, darn it, you know what? We see the guy we like. We see Zach Wilson as Patrick Mahomes part two. We're going to thrust him in the lineup. We're going to let him do his thing year one. And then we're going to use all this draft capital to go get him some weapons, to go get him some offensive lineman help. I look at the Jets and I'm like, you could take any of these talented wide receivers with your second first-round pick this year. You can use some of your capital to trade up, to grab one of those Alabama wide receivers. You could take Najee Harris to be your running back. You could go out, and this is how much I'm thinking next level for the Jets. Why not trade up? When you start seeing the scramble for quarterback and the scramble for Kyle Pitts and all of these, top-level prospects, if a guy like a Rashawn Slater is starting to fall and he's sitting there at pick 11, pick 12, I package a bunch of picks together. I go out and I get Rashawn Slater, and now I've got Mekhi Becton, Rashawn Slater at my tackle positions, and suddenly I feel a lot safer being Zach Wilson. So I think the Jets have that kind of plan where they're going to ride it out this year and let the pieces and let their draft capital speak for itself and have those fall where they may. But I really worry about the Jets in terms of there's just so little talent on this team. There are so many holes. You're easily looking at a top five pick for next season, which isn't necessarily bad. I don't want to see Zach Wilson's career get off to such a bad start or to have him take a lot of sacks, a lot of hits. Because to me, this team is going to struggle just like it did under Sam Darnold with not a lot of pieces laying around. Am I crazy? Am I just totally lost out of it? Or does that seem to be what's going to happen with the Jets in 2021?
No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I look at what the Jets are doing and I'm like, okay, we're doing stuff. It just all seems to be smoke and mirrors to me. Sure, they're gaining draft picks. Draft picks are monopoly money as far as I'm concerned. I look at this draft and I'm like, Trevor Lawrence, Kyle Pitts, those two guys will be perennial Pro Bowlers, guaranteed. If they don't make three Pro Bowls in the next 7 years, I will be shocked. The rest of the draft, half of them will be busts. That's just how it is. And I mean, of course, you would think that the farther down the draft, the less likely they become successful. But I mean, that's not even necessarily all that true. Even that guys that are drafted top 10, you may not hear about them after 2 years. And that's just part of the deal with what the NFL draft is. So many of these picks are guesses and nothing more. And that's where I look at, but that's one of the things that makes me a little bit upset about what the Niners are doing. The Niners package together all these first round picks, and sure, I'm calling draft picks monopoly money. They kind of are. They're not super high value. Could they go and get one first round pick that they like, who by all reports, they're going to go pick Mac Jones. And I don't get it. I don't get why you can look at Jimmy Garoppolo right now and say, this isn't working, and say, okay, we're going to go pick a completely identical quarterback and just pay him a rookie deal, somehow get rid of Garoppolo in some way, or he's just going to get injured and break his back this year again. And we're going to run it with Mac Jones, who is the exact same style of quarterback, has a very defined ceiling as far as what his talent level is capable of, just like Garoppolo. And that's our plan, when we could at least take like a Justin Fields there.
Yeah, shake it up a little bit. Look, I'm not a fan of the Niners trade, and I'm not a fan of Mac Jones. So when you put those two together, I've been really high. I've been buying stock in the 49ers because I think Kyle Shanahan is a genius, and I think this team is one competent quarterback. Heck, an incompetent quarterback that could stay on the field away from truly returning to the Super Bowl. That's how high I am on this team. But I absolutely hate the trade. I don't like Mac Jones as a prospect. I think he's a system quarterback. He played under Nick Saban with a ton of offensive talent. And sure, he might get that in San Francisco. But I think a guy like a Trey Lance or a Justin Fields, much higher ceiling, that is a prospect worth trading three first-rounders for. But you made a good point in calling draft capital kind of monopoly money, because I think there's some merit to that. And I think there's some truth in that we get caught up in the buzz and the hype, and that's just kind of the nature of how things are designed with who's going to go in the first round, who's going to go in the top 10. But, I mean, you're right. Half of these prospects, we need to always remember, are going to be busts. I mean, they're going to be either backups or be out of the league by year three, year four. That's just statistically what happens to top prospects in a draft. But the draft, I've always seen it as it's just like going fishing. And the more draft capital you have, the bigger net you can cast, which means you're going to have more of a chance than the guy next to you of catching something really special. So I like what the Jets are doing and that they are making their net as wide as humanly possible. And the Niners are basically saying, we're going to throw one line in the ocean. Our fisherman, Mac Jones, is going to lead our little steamboat here to the promised land. And call me crazy, but I think the Jets have a better future plan than what the Niners do.
That is an interesting idea, that the Jets have more of a plan for their future than the Niners. I mean, I get it from a standpoint of the Niners are kind of, it looks like they're throwing in all of their chips on Mac Jones, and that's going to be their lead. I mean, a couple of years ago, they had a really high draft pick. It ended up being Nick Bosa, and that led them to the gates of the Super Bowl, the gates of the championship, and they failed at the last stop because their quarterback was not talented enough. And so we're going to go fix that situation. We're going to go get Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones is an upgrade on Jimmy Garoppolo. I think Jimmy Garoppolo has been overrated for a solid 7 years, ever sure. since he's been in the same quarterback room as Tom Brady. I don't understand, have never understood why people are so high on Jimmy Garoppolo. I thought he was a stupid signing when San Francisco brought him in the first place. I thought they were getting played for the whole time. And I think that has showed so far in Garoppolo's career that the Niners win by running the football and playing defense. They have not once had to lean on Garoppolo to carry their team, even as much as the Browns have had to lean on Baker Mayfield to carry their team. I'm ready for them to move on. I'm concerned that they're not going for the quarterback with the highest ceiling, but if you've got a plan for a guy and you're going to let Mac Jones be your offensive carry, he's smart enough. I like that. But Trey Lance is smarter. He's not completely immobile, but the other four quarterbacks are a lot more mobile, and almost every other quarterback in the league is going to be mobile, save what, Tom Brady. And he is accurate. He does have a good arm. The other quarterbacks do too. So you're saying that we want this guy because of his decision-making. How can you say that a rookie quarterback is going to lead us to the Super Bowl because of his decision-making? Those two statements don't go together in any sense of the word. Because this team is ready to go for a Super Bowl based on the talent on the rest of their roster. But we want to go with a rookie quarterback. Yeah,
you're listening to the E2G Sports Network, home of the Unsung Sports Grid. This is Football MD with your hosts, John Mendoza and Dalton Davidson, talking a lot here about the quarterback carousel continuing to spin throughout the offseason, chatting some free agent moves, the draft, which is just a couple weeks away. If you have something on your mind, something ailing your team, let us diagnose it for you. Give us a call on the hotline, 516-387-1702, 516-387-1702. You know, I got to say, one of the coolest parts about running our show is taking a step back and looking at how unbelievably scorching hot some of our takes are, because 2 weeks ago during our Facebook live streamed show, you said that a dark horse sleeper for the Super Bowl was the New York Giants, and now I'm coming out and saying that the Jets have a brighter future than the 49ers. I absolutely love that. And that's why it's Football MD, because sometimes you need a little madness in your diagnosis. So I got a question, and then we'll kind of turn the page and move on to the second half of our show. Is the throw for the Niners, which do you agree or disagree with less? Is it the fact that they gave up three first-round picks to move up, or is it the fact that they are giving up three first-round picks to presumably take Mac Jones? If they turn in the draft card and that name says Justin Fields or Trey Lance, does this make this move good for the Niners, or is it still too much?
I don't think it's too much if you pick Justin Fields or Trey Lance. I think that's a fantastic situation to bring in a good young quarterback who needs to learn how to produce at a high level, who needs to learn how to be consistent and work in a system. I don't like it because it's Mac Jones. If it was Justin Fields or Trey Lance, I'd be scared. I'd be concerned, oh gosh, are we the Cardinals? Are we sitting here with the fourth best quarterback in the division again? Which, by the way, is a scary thing to consider, that Kyler Murray could be third or fourth best quarterback in his division. Matthew Stafford, I guess, is your other option for fourth best. But right now it's Jimmy Garoppolo, and that's a clear, defined statement. Anyone who disagrees with that is blinded by the lights of, oh my gosh, he was a backup to Tom Brady. He must be good. But no, if we went and got Justin Fields or Trey Lance, I'm satisfied. My problem is mostly that, gosh, people are for every reason you could be hyped about Mac Jones, I am just so much more hyped about Trey Lance. He is probably the smartest quarterback in the draft, sets his own pass blocking schemes. I mean, gosh, how can you not be interested in that guy? Despite the fact that he didn't play this year and played in a weak division, but you want to go pick but everyone says Zach Wilson is the number one guy. I can't roll with it.
That's fair.
But if it was Justin Fields or Trey Lance, I would be more excited. But if we're going Mac Jones, we'll see. But let's make a transition. We've talked a lot about the quarterback carousel. Let's talk about a team for a good long while that hasn't had a quarterback in, what is it? Oh, it's really only been 4 years. I mean, they had Peyton Manning is definitely a quarterback who did set some records. And he won them a Super Bowl, so you can't be too upset about him. He got you there a little bit. But let's talk about the Broncos. How are we feeling about Drew Lock and company?
Oh, that's a loaded question, because it has Broncos country divided right down the middle. You either have faith in Drew Lock, or you are absolutely ready for any other quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, Teddy Bridgewater, Justin Fields, I don't even care. Get Drew Lock out of town. There is no in-between. And I kind of fall somewhere in the middle. I was a big Drew Lock fan when he came out of Missouri. I thought he was going to be a great quarterback, especially in a weaker draft class. With a Daniel Jones and a Dwayne Haskins, I thought Locke could have been the best quarterback of that class, no doubt. And one of the things I thought that separated Locke from the other two was that he ran a spread offense his first 2 years in Missouri and then switched to a more pro-ready under-center scheme his senior year. And at the Senior Bowl, he was able to talk about protections and routes and checkdowns and, you know, taking snap under center and everything that you need your quarterback to succeed at an NFL level. Well, he's clearly got the arm. He clearly has the leadership and that mentality, but now he's got the pro readiness and the mental fortitude to be an NFL quarterback. And unfortunately, ever since that Senior Bowl performance, I haven't seen it at an NFL level. He's really only had two good games in his whole NFL career. It was 2019 against the Texans, who had a bottom five pass defense, and last year against the Carolina Panthers, who also had a bottom five pass defense. So I'm trying to figure out what the problem is with Drew Lock. Is he just not that good? Is there an argument that can be made where, okay, he had an injured offensive line last year, he was missing his number one receiver in Cortland Sutton. The Broncos as a whole were kind of a disaster. You had Philip Lindsay banged up all year, struggled with injuries, COVID opt-outs. There's a lot of excuses to be made, but at the end of the day, man, this is the freaking NFL. And I look out and I see guys like Joe Burrow coming out of college, Justin Herbert fresh out of college. No NFL offseason for them either, learning a brand new scheme. Excuses could be made for them too. You had Joe Burrow running for his life in Cincinnati, and those guys still put up numbers. So going into 2021, personally, I view Drew Lock as our bridge quarterback. No, I don't think we need to go out and trade for Teddy Bridgewater. No, I don't think we need to go out and draft a guy in the second or third round, hoping maybe he's got some upside to be a good clipboard Jesus. I think Lock is our bridge quarterback for this year. If you're going to draft and trade up for a guy, that's one thing, but if you swing and miss on a trade or the asking price is just too steep, then you ride it out with Locke because you really want to be able to hold on to your draft capital the next couple of years. You have a young, growing offense, and best case scenario is that Locke proves he can be the guy. Worst case scenario is, hey, you're picking in the top five next year, and now you know for sure you go out and you get the guy you want.
Okay. All right. Now, by all reports so far, next year's quarterback class is not very strong. But we say that every year, really, to hype up the current quarterback class. Now, this quarterback class has been hyped up more than any quarterback class ever with taking it might be top four quarterbacks, or maybe since he trades back and it's top five quarterbacks. I don't know. But so far, not a whole lot to be excited about regarding next year's quarterback class yet. But that's only because there's no Trevor Lawrence in the class, really. Nobody was talking about Zach Wilson before this year. Nobody was talking about
exactly.
People were talking about Justin Fields and Trey Lance, maybe. But nobody was talking about Mac Jones this high either. People haven't been talking about Mac Jones this high until last week, really.
Right.
I guess my concern here is the Broncos are going to be in one of the toughest divisions in football for the next probably 10 years. Sure, the Raiders don't seem like much of a threat, but Patrick Mahomes is locked in with Kansas City. He's looking like he's going to be calling the shots for the whole league for a long time. And Justin Herbert and the Chargers, you know, maybe I didn't have the best read on him coming out of college. I thought he had shades of Jay Cutler. Right now, he's looking a whole lot more than that. He's looking like one of the best quarterbacks, one of the best young quarterbacks in the whole league. You can maybe take your pick between him and Joe Burrow, but he's legit. He's going to be the guy. The Chargers are putting pieces around him. The Corey Lindsley signing, I love it. we'll see if they can put the rest of the pieces around him. They did. They lost their tight end, Hunter Henry. But what else can they put around him? So you got a tough division. We don't have a quarterback. Our defense is aging. Von Miller's pretty much done. I like Justin Simmons, sure. But how – what's our plan? Okay, next year it doesn't work out. We pick a quarterback. We don't know who it is. The year after that, the quarterback develops. Philip Lindsay is getting older. And then
Melvin
we've got
Gordon.
Melvin Gordon. How much longer does Melvin Gordon have in the tank? I think we've got skill positions on this team, but what's the plan? That's the problem with an NFL franchise right now, is it feels like if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a plan. So what is the plan?
Yeah, I talked about this a little bit with the Jets, right? And that they're doing mm-hmm. things, I think, backwards, is that they're getting their quarterback, and they say, ah, we're going to build the team around him later. And we have seen Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, those are two perfect examples of that formula doesn't always work. Whereas how I like to do things is we're going to put pieces in place and then go get our quarterback. The issue with the Broncos is that last year they didn't tank. They won too many games. You think that the number 9th overall pick is good enough. It's not. When you've got quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, probably 4, now you have to sacrifice something to trade up and take a quarterback. Now, there is a plan. There is a play. If we're able to trade up in this draft, it all depends on what the Falcons do at pick number 4. Let's say the Broncos lose the bidding war for pick number 4. The Patriots just say, you know what, take our next 4 first-round picks. I don't even care. I just want to beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. And they go out and they draft Fields or Lance. Now, the Bengals at 5, you know they're staying put. They've got their eye on Sewell or Chase. The Dolphins at 6 could look to trade back, but I think they're going to hold steady and take the best playmaker available, may that be Chase or Pitts. And now, at pick number 7, the Detroit Lions, who just got Jared Goff, who are rebuilding, they're looking for draft capital. That's a perfect opportunity for the Broncos to trade up and take whoever gets passed over, may it be Trey Lance or Justin Fields. And I'll be honest with you, I think if it is the Patriots who trade up to number 4 to get their quarterback, I think Justin Fields fits the bill, get it, Bill, for what Bill Belichick is looking for in a quarterback. And that would give us Trey Lance, who you and I are extremely high on, and I think he would be a great answer for the Broncos. The issue becomes if you can't trade up, if there is no option, the Lions aren't willing to finagle for a decent price. If, hey, let's say the Bears come in, and the Bears are offering Khalil Mack and half their draft picks to trade up and get a quarterback. The Broncos did the formula the right way. They built a great team. They've got a lot of good weapons, a young offensive core, an offensive line that finally got it together last year, a good, solid defense. I don't think people understand how talented this defense is. Even if you get rid of Von Miller, they have so many pieces in the secondary and on their defensive line. This is a top 5 defense. The issue is we put ourselves in a position where we can't get a quarterback. We didn't trade for one. We didn't go out and get a Sam Darnold or a Carson Wentz, and our pick is too low to get ourselves a Zach Wilson or a Justin Fields or a Trey Lance. We have to play the trade-up game. And to me, come draft night, that's just really scary.
I want to thank our listeners for tuning into our show. This is Football MD presented by E2G, home of the Unsung Sports Grid. Football MD with Mendoza and Davidson. Let us diagnose your team. Prescribe a solution. See if we can find you a quarterback if you are desperate for one, or prescribe you a pass rusher because that's more important anyways. If you do have a question, want to call in about the Broncos, if you want to call in about the Cardinals, if you want to call in about what's going on with Carolina and Sam Darnold, give us a call at 516-387-1702. That's 516-387-1702. Okay, you've convinced me. The Broncos are not dead. I agree with you. The formula should be let's build a team and put a quarterback in that slot. That is what won the Broncos their Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. They had a fantastic team, strong defense, good culture, and they bring in Peyton Manning. Sure, he didn't play good in every game, but he was the brought that team together, that they just could not find a quarterback, and they went and got one. That was the formula with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. That team was 8-8. They had good defensive pieces. They had good skill positions. They go, they grab Tom Brady. Tom Brady brings everybody else to Tampa. They go, they win a Super Bowl. To an extent, that was the situation with Kansas City as well, where they had good pieces all over the squad, and Patrick Mahomes just kind of fell into their lap like a blessing from heaven. So I like the formula, and to the Rams and the Colts' credit, seems to be what they're trying to do this year. If the Broncos go and they're able to trade up to 7, maybe even to 4, but let's say they get 7, and we'll say it's Zach Wilson, or we'll say it's Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Mac Jones go top 3, and then it's whatever's left to you between Justin Fields and Trey Lance, probably, because very unlikely that Cincy or Miami, I think, trade out or pick a quarterback at that spot, right? So at 7, you probably get a quarterback, the fifth taking quarterback in the draft. I'd still be happy with Justin Fields or Trey Lance. But what happens this year if, say, we take that quarterback in the top 10 of the draft? Does he play day one? Do we trade Drew Lock away? Or do we let Drew Lock be a bridge to a Trey Lance, who a lot of people agree maybe needs some time to sit? And then what happens if we lose a couple of games? What happens if we lose 3-4 games? And what Drew Lock's throwing picks? People are getting impatient. At what point do you say, let's get this kid in there?
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly. It really, honest to God, is going to depend on who's left. If it's a Trey Lance, let's just say that best case scenario first, it's Trey Lance, then yeah, Lock is your bridge. He'll start game 1, game 2, game 3, maybe even game 4. Going into week 5, you're probably a 1-3 team at that point, barring some, you know, Drew Lock miracle turnaround. So that's your plan. He's going to be your bridge, and if, you know, worst case scenario, he makes for a decent backup. Then you put Trey Lance in. You see what he can do with this offense. You let him go out there and just sling it. Do what you did at North Dakota State. Just be that superstar. Use your athletic ability, and let's get some wins. Let's put some points on the board and help out our defense. Now, I will say, if it's a Justin Fields, who many feel is way more pro-ready, played in that pro-style offense at Ohio State, looked pretty darn good in the college football playoffs, I think that's where you say, okay, who wants Drew Lock for a fifth, maybe sixth round pick? Because Justin Fields will probably start day one. I think he's a quarterback that you go and you just start him day one. He's clearly going to be pro ready for it. Maybe has not as high of a ceiling as a Trey Lance, which is why I think you and I both prefer Lance to Fields. But in that instance, Lock is now, you know, on the trade block. He's perma benched. You roll out with Justin Fields day one. Does that give you a better chance to win games early in the season? Yeah, I would, you know, debatably, yeah. But I think Lance is going to be that guy who helps you win from week 8 through, you know, now week 18. I think that would be more of the play. But again, I just go back to, you know, what could have been. Could the Broncos have rolled into this season with a Matthew Stafford, Carson Wentz, Sam Darnold? It's kind of one of those, you know, what could have been, because I never like putting all my chips in the draft, especially when you have to trade up.
Yeah, I understand your uncomfortability with that, but I also look at this draft and I'm like, okay, if we can get one of those top 5 quarterbacks, I feel like the Broncos have a good chance because they do have the pieces around them. And some of those pieces are going to be sustainable. Justin Simmons definitely has several years left. We did just sign him to a big deal. We've got the skill positions. We've got a young tight end, several good wide receivers, and we do just kind of seem to be spitting them out year by year. Every year it seems like we lose a big wide receiver, and suddenly we've got another great one. unfortunately, Courtland Sutton didn't get to play much of the last year, but he's coming back. So I like the pieces around this team. And you mentioned the offensive line's getting figured out too. And, you know, I like what Vic Fangio is doing over here in Denver. I think the team has an identity of trying to play defense, of trying to run the football and get some big plays out of our wide receivers down the field. And that is a situation where I look at, okay, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, those are the guys I'd like to put in right there. The big arm, the big playmaking ability, and if something breaks down, they can make something happen themselves. So I would love to go and do that. But let's take another look at the defense, because you mentioned that this defense, you believe, has the potential to be top five. Now, I don't think that necessarily was proven last year. Of course, we've seen the Broncos defense be proven in years before, but what makes you say this defense could be top five? I mean, just Von Miller coming back?
Well, you've got Von Miller coming back, who not only brings Von Miller, but he also brings that leadership. You can move Bradley Chubb over to the strong side pass rush position. He was playing weak side last year. The defense comes back healthy. You got Alexander Johnson, a middle linebacker, finally coming back. You have resigned Shelby Harris, who is criminally underrated on that defensive line. And then I think Broncos last year, is that they had no secondary. Yeah, you know, they had their number one cornerback, A.J. Bouye, who was hurt or suspended for most of last year. He's shipped out of town. Bryce Callahan, who was supposed to be your number two, he was hurt for just about all year. If he was on the field, he had a lingering injury that limited his ability to make plays. So your number one cornerback last year was a third-round rookie. And even if they didn't make the top five last year, they still had a good enough defense to keep them in games with a leaky secondary. Even Kareem Jackson, strong safety, he was suspended for part of the year as well. So now we fast forward. It's 2021. And our defense looks completely different in the secondary. We've got Kyle Fuller, a former All-Pro who played under Vic Fangio in Chicago. We've got Bryce Callahan, aforementioned, moving back to his nickel corner spot. We re-signed Kareem Jackson. He's no longer suspended. We locked up our Justin Fields. Bringing back Von Miller, I mean, hey, man, you know as well as anybody, that pass rush and secondary work better hand in hand. So Von Miller, even if he's not Super Bowl 50 Von Miller, when you've got a secondary like that with so much talent there, with guys who aren't third-round rookies as your number one corner, you've got the safety position solidified. It's just going to buy more time for guys like Bradley Chubb, Von Miller, and Shelby Harris to get to the quarterback. And it almost makes me sad to think so, because we do have the defense that, heck, kept us in games last year with a terrible offense. I just go back to my first point in saying, if we had a quarterback right now, if we had a way to put points on the board, if we had a way to complement this defense, even if we're not putting up Patrick Mahomes-type numbers, heck, top 16 off a first-half offense, maybe we sneak into a wild card slot last year. It remains to be seen this year, especially what happens with the draft. But I think this defense is underrated. It's not talked about a lot. And I think a big part of that is because, hey, you still have to play Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert a total of four times this year. So the stats aren't always going to be as padded as they could be.
That's true. Your defense is going to get lit up by those passing offenses no matter what you do. But hopefully you can claim that back a little bit when you play the Raiders, because they look like they're going to be trash this year. But I want to talk about Bradley Chubb in particular here. Chubb had a fantastic rookie season, 12 sacks. Coming out the gate in 2018. 2019, missed a lot of games. Only played four games. But 2020, he gets 7.5 sacks as the number one pass rusher. Of course, didn't have Von Miller to take away attention from him. Is Bradley Chubb a top performer? Is he, when Von Miller does hang it up, is Bradley Chubb going to be good enough for a number one pass rusher? Or is he only ever going to be good while Von Miller is healthy and ready to go?
I think he will be good when Von Miller hangs it up. I think when Von Miller's on the field, or insert pass rusher number two is on the field, he will be great. Last year, he did make the Pro Bowl, only played in 14 games, which makes that 7.5 sack total look even more impressive. Teams even really need to throw the ball against the Broncos that much. You're never really playing with a lead if you're Denver. So, yeah, you can look at it and say, oh, he only had 7.5 sacks. That's not all that impressive. But I think it's even more impressive considering he played 14 games and the Broncos never had a lead. He never got to rush the passer, you know, when the opposing team is dropping back on all three downs, because the Broncos offense was never able to give them a lead. That's what made the Broncos so lethal back in that Peyton Manning era, was that Peyton Manning would go out and put the Broncos up by 2-3 scores, and that defense didn't even have to play that hard. You just got to sit back in zone coverage and let your pass rushers, you know, do the talking, because the opposing team's dropping back every play. So I think Bradley Chubb, while he wasn't my favorite draft pick for the Broncos, I'm going to be honest, I really wanted Quentin Nelson there. But I look at what he's becoming and growing into, and you know, last year he was coming off that ACL tear, made the Pro Bowl last year. I think his future is looking up. And I think if you're the Broncos, if you have 1, maybe 2 years left of Von Miller, I think he passes the torch to Bradley Chubb. And so long as they can find a bookend pass rusher opposite of him, I think he's going to have himself a great career here in Denver.
Okay. All right. Well, you've convinced me. The Broncos have a chance. They're going to the Super Bowl in 2022.
We'll meet the Cardinals there, right?
They'll meet the Cardinals there, of course. Yeah, it'll be great. We'll be very intrigued and having a great time. The rest of the NFL will be snoring, I'm sure. Nobody wants to see that Super Bowl, probably. But, okay, so the Broncos have a plan. They have a good defense. We just need the quarterback. Is there any reason, is there any way that you're still excited about that team if we can't put together a deal and go and get a quarterback in this draft?
I'm sad. I'm not excited. I'm just kind of sad. And I think kind of cooling off the let's go up and get a quarterback, you know, let's go get a guy right now, because there's a couple prospects that I'm really falling in love with that could be there at the number 9 overall pick. A Micah Parsons is the quintessential Vic Fangio middle linebacker. I mean, that's my guy. That's my dude who I want in this draft. And I'm like, I can take a chance and give up draft capital to get a quarterback, possibly, or I can take a generational linebacking talent that Vic Fangio can groom to be the next Brian Urlacher. I mean, that was my preferred method. But the closer I get to draft day, and maybe I'm sipping a little bit of that, you know, pre-draft Kool-Aid, but I get more excited about these quarterbacks, and I think about turning on my TV week one, and I think about this team with these offensive weapons being one quarterback away from competing, and I see Drew Lock trot out on the field, and I get sad thinking that it's probably going to go to waste. But I see Trey Lance or Justin Fields trot out on that field, and I think, damn it, now we've got a chance. Let's go. Bring on the Chargers. Bring on the Raiders. We'll go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs coming season. And I think if you're a Broncos fan, the team has unfortunately put us in a position where that's where all of our chips need to go. But hey, that's just the nature of the NFL. And I'm so much more excited for this team. And I think this team has a shot to make it to the playoffs and compete if they're able to get a quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, that's just the truth of the NFL is if you've got that quarterback, you have a chance. It's just a prerequisite for playoff contention, really. But just as an excitement standpoint, I mean, you say Micah Parsons could be the next Brian Urlacher. Brian Urlacher never won a Super Bowl. Sad as that is, he was a fantastic Hall of Fame player, one of the best middle linebacker, probably the best linebacker I've ever seen. But they couldn't win a Super Bowl because they had Rex Grossman at quarterback. And is that the situation you're looking at where you're like, okay, let's go get Micah Parsons. We still don't have a quarterback. We probably still never win a Super Bowl without one. I want to thank everybody for taking the time to tune in to E2G and our show, Football MD, with Mendoza and Davidson. Give us a call next week, and we will diagnose your team.
Take care, everybody. Join us next week. We'll talk free agency grades, and I'm going to grill Dalton on those birds. down in the desert. We're going to talk to the Arizona Cardinals next week, everybody. Have a great week. God bless.